Hello, and welcome to Good People to Know, a Down to Earth podcast brought to you by WFI Insurance. We round up experts, specialists and people in the know from around Australia and talk to them about the things that matter most to regional Australians. During the series, many of our Good People to Know have discussed the role and potential of technology to revolutionise the sector by making it more productive, more sustainable, create new jobs and improve the lives of farmers. In this episode, I want to find out more from a farmer who's really been putting new innovations into practice on his farm. Brad Egan is a farmer from Skadan, near Esperance, in southwest WA, and in 2022 was awarded Young Farmer of the Year for the way he used the latest technologies to help with decision-making and support a productive farm. Brad joined me in person to tell me about his family farm, the technology systems they've adopted, and the benefits they've seen, as well as discussing sustainability and how technology can help the industry meet its goals. Brad, can you just a little bit of detail about your farm?
So we're farming in Skadan, which is about 60 k's northeast of Esperance in WA. We're a 3,400 hectare operation, growing wheat, barley, canola and field peas mainly. It's a family business, so I'm working alongside mum and dad every day, which is quite special. And we also employ one full-timer. And yeah, one other fun fact about the farm is we supply all the raw barley to the local brewery, Lucky Bay Brewing.
Yeah, I researched that earlier, so I had that written here on my notes, Lucky Bay Brewery. So, we need the barley for the beer, so good local supplier. Yeah. So it truly is a family farm?
Yeah, so we shifted to Skadden in 2000. So, yeah, we haven't been farming in the area long, but, yeah, really enjoy working with mum and dad every day.
So to win Young Farmer of the Year, you're obviously passionate about farming. What is it that drove your passion? Just being brought up on a farm all your life, or is there more to it?
Yeah, look, I think the Esperance area is, you know, quite progressive and, you know, has a lot of passion for, you know, being better at what we're doing. And, you know, I think that's sort of filtered down through the people that I've been surrounded with in my farming career. And, yeah, it's just driven my passion to, you know, get into it and have a crack.
Now, you mentioned precision agriculture before and data analytics and the like. What technologies have you brought to the farm?
We're implementing a lot of different technologies on farm to make sure that we're making the most of what we've got. So probably chief among them is the variable rate applications that we're doing. So anything from nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, lime, gypsum, seed, fertiliser and soil amelioration. We're varying our applications to match our inputs to outputs, being more targeted and more precise with what we're doing. We're also implementing section control on all our machines to make sure we're being as efficient as we can be, and your protein meters on the headers to make sure that we're capturing not just yield data but also quality data to get better insights into what we're actually achieving in a single year. And then, yeah, a big thing that I've had a part of within our farm business is digitising all our ag records to make sure that, you know, records are all in one place and accurate. So at any point we can just pull the phone out of the back pocket and have all the data at our fingertips.
Brad, I know from a research you have an ag science degree through Curtin University. Was it easy bringing your learnings from that degree onto the farm? Any generational challenge with mum and dad sort of, you know, wanting to stick to maybe ways they'd known, or was it pretty seamless?
Pretty seamless as a whole. Mum and dad, you know, I'm very lucky to have them as my parents. They've always been a massive support for me and, you know, everything that I've been implementing back on farm. They'd started on this journey of precision ag and, you know, implementing technology into farming, but they recognised that the skill set that I'd acquired at university, you know, was what we needed as a farm business to really, you know, advance this implementation of tech and innovation. So yeah, they were very happy to let me just grab the opportunity and run with it, which I'm very grateful for.
Now, did you say a moment ago that it's all controlled through your phone, through your mobile phone?
Not controlled as such, right, but I can like bring my open an app on my phone right now and show a tractor out in the paddock spreading lime. So we've got telemetry on all the machines so we can see where they are and what they're doing and how they're performing. And also, you know, I could bring up all our ag records over the last sort of 5 years is what I've got stored away in a single location, so I can show you what was grown where and how much we've spent on it, and also beginning to split that out into like per hectare basis, like within zones, within paddocks, yeah.
Where do you think that sort of technology and adoption's at the moment? Is it now widely used, or is it still as early stages, do you think, or is it gaining traction more broadly?
It's definitely gaining more traction and more interest broadly, especially in this, you know, modern environment that we're in farming, with it being quite volatile with, you know, our input prices and our export, you know, commodity prices. So people are trying to get a lot better at it. But I guess this work has been the driver as to why I've been recognised for this award, is that we're doing it. Oh, I like to think that we're doing it quite well on farm, which is leading to some massive, you know, advances for our business because we're just getting way better insight into what we're doing, and that allows us to make better decisions, which others are now noticing.
So what sort of benefits have you realised so far from the data and the precision side of things?
Probably a good way to explain, the sort of advances we're seeing is that over the last 10 years, our annual rainfall has actually declined by 15%. Now, being a dry land operation, we're heavily reliant on rain for our production, so you'd imagine that our productivity would also be at a decline with those sort of numbers, but our average wheat yield's actually gone up by 45% in the same period. And that's a direct result of what we're doing on farm with this tech and innovation. We're being far more sustainable and efficient with our inputs. And I'm always testing the system, I guess, always trialing and probing to make sure that what we are doing is the best course of action.
So I guess, you touched on there, it's a sustainability thing as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess, not as much cost going into the input side. You're able to regulate through the precision side of things how much you're putting onto the land.
Yeah, which is that whole the variable rate and being targeted with our applications. It's about, not over or under applying in areas, and it's not only for betterment for our business but also like environmental, because we're being far less wasteful, far more efficient, and it just has a whole system benefit.
As the technology continues to improve, what do you think it means longer term for employment on farms? Do you see more jobs being created through these efficiencies, or does it mean less people on the land? Is there a pro or a con in that regard?
Look, I think it just means at the initial stage, it's a bit of a shift in skill set. I spend a lot more time in the office and on the computer than what my dad would have ever done, I can guarantee that. So it hasn't specifically created a new role on our farm at the moment, but my role is a lot different to a traditional just operator or owner-operator, I guess. So, I think it's a shift in skill set at the moment. And then going forward, as, say, autonomy or robotics get more widespread and implemented across operations, I think, the skill set will change, that people have to be, managing those machines rather than, completely taking away from roles on farm. So, it's a difficult one to guess at until, we're actually there, I guess.
So I guess there's still elements at the moment where it doesn't take away, the gut feel, the knowledge of the land and the seasons. It's just providing that additional data and more knowledge to support what you already think, or?
I guess the way I like to look at what I'm doing is it's validating gut feel. It's, making data-driven decisions, and it's come from a basis of that gut feel. And it's sort of how I got started on the journey is, going up at budget time, watching mum and dad try and put forward a case for a new machine, say, and the accountant and the consultant, maybe suggesting that it wasn't the best idea, but they didn't have the numbers backing it. It was just a gut feeling that they had, whereas, I then start rolling in with the spreadsheets and the data and the numbers behind it, and it makes decision-making a lot easier. And it's not just from a third-party point of view as far as, the accountant, but also internally for ourselves, it's us validating that, we are making the right decision, we are being profitable and making the right choice.
So using data in a better way and precision agriculture, has it given you more time back in your day to pursue interests off the farm, or is your time on the farm sort of about the same?
I'm hoping that one day it will let me have more time off, because it is a very complex beast that we're tackling, and as we're refining it and developing, more tech, it does take time to put the work in to get these things up and running. But I definitely do see a future where, there'll be more time available to go down to some of the lovely Esperance beaches.
What are some of the challenges you see on the horizon that you face and farming generally faces?
I think it's the three major ones that are within every business, but, environmental, economic and social. Yeah, first off, the environment. We've been experiencing a steady decline of our rainfall for a long period of time now. Also economic challenges, like our input prices are right up at the moment, and supplies, dodgy in a word. You can't be too sure on whether we're going to get stuff or if it's going to be available. And then, our outputs, our grain prices, they're, extremely volatile at the moment. There's nothing stopping us from going and spending a large amount on inputs through the year only for the end price of the grain to be swept away at the end, which then, affects our end margin. And, the social side of things, I think it is a difficult one. At the moment, it's definitely in the spotlight that, maybe agriculture isn't as sexy as it should be. I think us as farmers have to do a lot better job of showing what we're doing on farm is the right thing.
Yeah, that leads into my next question was going to be, do you feel the agricultural industry has a big enough voice And I know the National Farmers Federation has the towards 2030 roadmap of 100 billion in farm gate produce. Yeah, but to that point, do you think, you know, wider Australia and government understands the challenges of the of our agricultural community?
I don't follow agri politics that closely, but I'm definitely starting to more as it's becoming more of an issue for us farmers. And yeah, my honest opinion would be no, I don't think that us as farmers we're, you know, maybe represented or understood as well as we should be. But I don't think it's on any one body's blame for that. I think it's a whole industry thing. Is we've got to get a lot better at selling the message that Australian ag is a good space, an exciting space to be in, and you know, it's got a promising future. And yeah, on your 100 billion, I'm not sure if you've seen the ABARES report, but they're forecasting that we're at 90 billion for this year just gone. So I think we're well on track.
And then look at that. That is, as you sort of touched on, that's on the back of prices being up in a lot of areas. In you know, wheat, barley, canola prices are up, and beef and other commodities things are up as well. But as the Farming Federation said recently, you know, that's volatile and could change over time. But certainly, hitting 90 billion at this point in time is a good level to reach on the way to 2030.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, again, there's been certain things that have pushed the prices up, like you said, but it hasn't taken away from the fact that Aussie farmers are, you know, putting in the hard yards to be more productive and more profitable. So yeah.
Now you touched on it a moment ago. How concerned are you about climate change? And you know, I'm a bit of a, when I talk climate change, you know, there are strong people believing climate change. Other people may be a little more skeptical about it, but. Yeah. You know, we as an insurer certainly see there's something going on with the weather. We're seeing more events and more things happen out there. So, yeah, how concerned are you about the climate change? And you know, are you already seeing direct impacts? You mentioned less rainfall.
Yeah.
You know, are you seeing more severe weather?
Yeah, well, look, I can speak from experience where we are. We're experiencing a long-term decline in our annual rainfall, which, yeah, like we were talking about before, is obviously concerning for a dry land operation. And, yeah, it's becoming more risky with, you know, the more severe weather events as well. So, you know, a few facts about what we've experienced in the recent term is we've been below average rainfall for the last 5 years, and we've had three of our six lowest rainfall event years in the last 6 years, including 2019, which is our driest year on record. Now, 2019 was also coupled with our worst frost on record, and we also copped a lot of heat stress events which affected our crops. So that led to 2019 being our worst year on record. So, yeah, I'm definitely aware of climate change and the risks that it poses to our industry. But, yeah, I'm reassured to see that, you know, through tech and innovation and, you know, a fair bit of soil amelioration to improve the land and be more sustainable, we're over this same period where we've had, you know, drier years and the worst year on record, we've also recorded four of our six best wheat crops on record.
And so sustainability is clearly important, and that's where, I guess, your passion for precision agriculture comes in.
Yeah. Look, sustainability is such a massive thing of modern agriculture, well, agriculture in general. And it's funny, I've seen a few farmers treat sustainability as a bit of a buzzword, and they think it's just something that's trying to get pushed on top of us, but really it's at the core of, or I believe it's at the core of what farming is. You know, Australia dishes up some of the harshest environments to farm in the world, and you know, yet farming productivity has been on a steady rise for a long time in Australia. If we weren't being sustainable, we wouldn't be farming here today. And you know, as we get more access to tech and innovation, it allows us to continually, you know, improve our operations and, you know, accelerate our learning to make better decisions with the ultimate goal of being more sustainable.
And are you seeing other farms, certainly in your region, adopt these technologies?
Yeah, so definitely there's a lot of people within the Esperance region that have been adopting these technologies over the years and have been a big part of, you know, developing them. And, yeah, I played host to a Rabobank Young Farmers Forum in Esperance, which had a group of about 60 young growers through the whole Western Australian grain belt coming down, and they were all extremely passionate to learn about what we're doing on farm. So there's a lot of interest about, you know, uptake in other areas as well.
So, Brett, as we wrap up, what advice would you give to any farmers listening about adopting new technology? And is there one thing farmers could go and do today that would make a difference?
Yeah, so I'd say look for your lowest hanging fruit. Identify what's probably your biggest limitator for your production and, you know, go from there. You want to be smart with your investment. There's a lot of ag tech and gadgets out there that aren't suited to every operation, and there's even some that I don't think are suited to any operation. So, yeah, you got to be wise with your investment. So probably look at what others are doing around you, and if not, understand, you know, what what might be a limitator to your production and look at options in that space. And then as far as, you know, what's something they could go out to make a big difference, hammer it home whenever I'm, you know, talking to anyone about this sort of thing. But digitising and keeping accurate records, I think, is, you know, the key first step in this journey, because that's where, you know, I started off, and it was from a logistics point of view for a start, just being able to pull out any bit of info at any point. But then it allows you to perform, you know, analysis on your operation, not just at a whole scale level, but also, you know, per paddock and per crop type, which allows for such valuable insights, as well as, you know, as well as traceability for, you know, say insurance or regulations. And secondly, like Velberate application, it was a no-brainer for us because we have such variable soil types, which leads to variable crops. So yeah, if you are in cropping and you experience variability within your crop in either yield or protein, then the chances are a flat rate application across a whole paddock isn't the most efficient way to go about things. Be more targeted with your nutrition to try and maximise not only profitability but your environmental sustainability. Don't be wasteful, especially when, you know, inputs are at such high prices.
All right, look, keep on telling the story, because it's a fantastic story. Thanks for sharing your time with us today.
Cool, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today for this special conversation with Brad Egan. Just like Brad Egan is sharing his knowledge to help other farmers become more innovative, resilient and sustainable, WFI Insurance has a long and proud history of helping agricultural communities identify and mitigate their risks, protecting Aussie farms for over 100 years. Please join us again next time as we shake hands with more good people to know.